Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. What's up?
Not too much. And we have our other co-host on the line who didn't oversleep like he did last week. And Craig, what's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations. Yeah, we had to throw that out there, didn't we?
Yeah, I did forget to put Couture under the bus. Couture also said he was going to be 30 minutes late and never showed up. Thanks a lot, Couture.
Yeah.
You guys don't know how difficult it is. I tuned in
and heard the peach machine. I just don't want to deal with that shit. So.
Well, that's what I was about to say. You guys don't know how hard it is to deal with the peach machine for an hour and a half. You know, it's like torture, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
He's fucking miserable. He don't understand why a fucking arrow uses a fucking bow and arrow. He don't like Becky Lynch. He's just a miserable fucker, you know?
Surprisingly, we are already getting a call, so I'm going to go ahead and put the call on the air. Caller calling from area code 718. Who's this? They got scared and hung up. So, I got stage fright. But anyway, so did anything happen this week? Anything at all? I didn't hear any news or anything.
Well, the big news is if you're mid-carter, you don't go grab a Mensa man. That's what happened.
Or
I don't care how many homeless people you fed, you know? You don't do that.
Yeah.
I think he was just in a bad mood.
You think told him like to do it as like a gag, or you think that's something he's done to him before, and it was just he just did it at the wrong time, or
I think
what was going on
at the wrong time and on the wrong day or something? That's weird.
Because it's funny because they like that guy because they send that guy out to go do like all the like reading and schools and. All of that stuff. I mean, he's like the
and
his
wife felt it wasn't a big deal for him to do it. He's out doing that stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's just it's stupid. I don't know. It was weird.
Did you notice that, Craig, while you were there?
I did notice it, but I thought absolutely nothing of it. Because it was... I didn't see what Titus did in the first place. So, when I saw Vince shove him, I was like, well, that's weird. And, and then you see the video and it doesn't look like it's any big deal at all. I guess he just, I heard one of the radio announcers here in the area say that maybe, Titus was, overshadowing what had just happened in the ring. and he shouldn't have been on, he shouldn't have taken away the spotlight from Daniel like that, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't have even been noticed that Vince wouldn't have freaked out and pushed him and, you know,
talked
to Stephanie and everything.
Exactly.
But I guess, so that leads us to, that was just actually the aftermath of the really big news and some really shitty news, honestly. I mean, my favorite wrestler, like, who unfortunately I haven't seen wrestle for, I don't know what, this last WrestleMania, had to announce his retirement, and it pretty much sucked. And, you know, he'd been going to all these doctors and getting these clean bills of health, and I was hoping because he was getting so many that he'd get one, the one that would put it over the top and he'd come back, but unfortunately it was the other way around. So that kind of sucked. So, yeah, it's kind of shitty news week as far as, you know, not being able to see your favorite wrestler anymore.
Especially somebody that's like a legitimate good person, which is rare in this business.
Yeah, it sucks. He's been dealing with basically just dealing with this almost a year now, seemed like. I know he's really been
injured for the last 2 years. Pretty much.
Honestly, yeah, because he came back and it was let's call it who it was. It was Sheamus. I mean,
shit happens, I guess, you know. So
yeah, and let me take that back. It probably wasn't just Sheamus because they've recently released the clip of the match, and It doesn't look like anything horrible. I know the kick and the headbutts that actually Daniel Bryan was throwing to Sheamus actually busted him open at the end there. But the only reason they've been showing the clip again is because Daniel Bryan actually had a seizure during that match. And it's pretty darn scary.
Yeah, well,
man, he's been using that Dagum diving headbutt, what, since he started wrestling?
Basically.
Yeah, well, I think that takes more of a toll on the neck than the actual head.
Well, I mean, still it jolts your head doing it. I mean, like, from the top rope and stuff.
Yeah, and, I mean, basically, it's not like he's never, like, hit anybody on the head because his finisher in ROH was basically the elbows to the head. And there were times when it looked like he was killing people. And I remember asking Roderick Strong what it's like to take those, and he didn't enjoy it. but it still sucks, though. You know, like I say, it's like no more Daniel Bryan, no more the guy who won the Technical Wrestler of the Year for, what, 7-8 years in a row. This really sucks. But before we get into, you know, really, really get into that, apparently Craig was being a troublemaker and starting fistfights at the Key Arena. And,
oh, jeez.
Why don't you tell us what was going on, Craig? Because I hear Craig turning into Mr. Ass Kicker down there.
Well, anyway, after the show, we were walking out, and, you know, people are filing out, you know, it's a crowded place, you know, and people are filing out. The joint was pretty much sold out. That's legit, too. and as we're filing out, I hear some commotion behind me, people yelling and stuff. And then just about that time, you know, I'm walking. I've got Cameron, my 9-year-old son, by the hand. We're walking through the crowd. My wife's got his hand on the other side, and Brian's walking behind us. And Cameron slams into me, and then some dude basically shoulder checks me from behind and then continues to plow through the crowd. And he was just, who cares about everybody else? I want to get out of here. And he's just mowing people over. And so, as I said, he knocked Cameron into me and then knocked me half sideways. And I let go of Cameron. I took two steps forward and I shoved him in the back as well as hard as I could. And he tripped up and almost hit the door going outside. And he turns around and I stepped up and I looked him in his face. And when I say looked in his face, he had to look up at me because he was probably 5'8", 5'9", one of your people had a Hispanic kid, and he just stared at me, and I stared a hole right through him, and I didn't say a word, and he looked up at me, and I could smell the booze coming off of him, and I was waiting for him to lunge at me because I was going to... Anyway, he slipped through the door and started up the steps and kept looking back to make sure I wasn't following him. So, yeah.
Can't take you anywhere, Craig. Now I'm worried about WrestleMania, that you're going to, wherever we go, you're going to be starting fights with
you know,
tiny little wrestling fans.
If it wasn't for Cameron getting half knocked over, I probably wouldn't have done anything because I'm usually pretty calm, cool, and collected. But yeah, I something short circuited in my head, and I was going to kill that man. But
what was Brian doing? What was Brian doing this whole time?
Giggling, and not doing anything.
He didn't like get like right behind you, so the guy couldn't even see him. And...
No.
Or did he jump behind your wife?
Take his phone out and start filming this shit.
I wish.
Periscope.
We stepped outside and he goes, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna have a stroke. My heart's beating out of my chest right now. I thought I was gonna get in a fight." He's just laughing at me, and my wife's like, "Wow, you don't usually act like that." I said, "Well, don't mess with my boy."
And don't be acting like that when you come out here and ruin my meal, where I have to, you know, get all upset. Don't get pushed around at the salad bar or something, you know.
Yeah, it's probably best that you sit away from Rick Furman at the dinner.
He's not coming to the dinner.
He's paid me for the dinner.
You're kidding me.
He sent me money.
You talking about me?
Well, I mean, he still has to get there. It's still a long ways away. Apparently, you know, he had to get $12 just to go to SmackDown and get on his bus or whatever. Or Raw, I mean. So, you know, I mean, he that doesn't mean he's making it, but he's on a mission to get there, I guess, is the word. Luckily, I haven't got any more emails. I think I got like a dozen emails in one day. When he found out about it.
Oh,
my gosh. And,
I'm really shocked. I'm really,
Misty
really
Hyatt
shocked.
Misty Hyatt says she's signing with Scott Steiner, so she's got the bodyguard part taken care of, hopefully.
Who are y'all talking about?
Brent Kremen.
Oh, my. I thought that was like an imposter in that thread.
And no, that was it's really him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's coming.
Yeah, I'm going
to
spend
Damon him from afar at the dinner, like a flying in his natural habitat or something, you know.
Yeah, don't let on you know anybody, and you'll be fine. Just, you know, stay in the corner, keep your head down.
I'm afraid he'll take a shine to me and want to hang out or something.
Ask if he can stay with you. All he told me is he was staying with some Jamaican friend for like 5 or 6 days. And
I thought that was just like a board gimmick with a Brent Kremen name when I saw that in that post. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, he's gonna be there, and I know. I just know. Brent is fine. Okay, I'm going on record just saying this. Brent is fine, but he's so needy. He doesn't want to spend any money, mostly because he didn't have any, and so he imposes upon you to make sure he doesn't spend any money. Hey, do you think I could get a ride here? Do you think I could, you know, can you take me over here? It wouldn't be a big deal if you did, you know. And most people are nice, and they don't like telling people no. And then you're the jerk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't want to, you know, I had no desire. Craig, are you going from Brian's house, are you going by Seattle? Nope, not going through Seattle at all. Knowing full good and well, you have to drive right through Seattle to get to my house from Brian's house.
Speaking of Brent going, somebody was threatening not to go the other day. I pissed them off so bad. But, oh well, he gets on my nerves. Dude, yeah, I got a text saying that he's one step close to not going at all. And, I was like, whatever.
Okay. I have no idea who you're talking about, but that's fine.
Your little buddy
Brian. Not Rodney, is it?
No, I haven't pissed Rodney off yet. I'm sure I'll get there now, but I pissed Brian off.
He's on the list, though.
Yeah.
I talked to him the other day.
I'm Brian for
to meet him. I'm going to sit with Rodney.
So you can say you have a black friend and you're not racist.
That's right. Or you got a Mexican friend and need a black one to fill everything out.
Right? Hey, that's why I hang out with
now
Rodney.
I'm
that's the only reason.
Brent Crimmins coming up because I came very close to bringing my mom with me to this dinner. Now I'm upset that she's not coming.
I almost feel that Brian's looking for a way to get out of going because he's, got the child coming.
God, I hope he don't ask me a bunch of shit because I'm local. Like for a ride or something.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm not even driving there. My parents are dropping me off because they're going down that way anyway. Do some shit and then they're just going to pick me up. So.
That's good.
Are you on any shows besides WrestleMania, Katrina?
No. I only need to go to one. And it's one with about 100,000 people. That's all I can take. So.
I hear there's
going
to be
the
more
other ones
that
won't
weekend.
Have. Yeah, luckily the other ones won't have 100,000 people. But I was kind of like looking at Google Maps, and thank God that fucking, because usually ROH has to be like way the fuck out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily they're at the Russellton Hotel, which is cool because that's where I'm at. But the Access, the WWE stuff, and the WWN Live stuff, it's like a 5-minute walk away. I mean, you don't even have to drive there and stuff.
Nice.
So, and I know people are going to leave ROH because I got tickets to both ROH and NXT. So I know people are going to leave ROH early. So I'm going to have somebody text me on when it's like a good time to go, you know, in case they're running late or something. And get to see as much of NXT as possible and as much of ROH as possible. So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. The WrestleCon show is looking really good, too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to laugh at all you guys going to the WrestleCon show when they announce Daniel Bryan for the Hall of Fame.
And I'll still be okay with it, so.
Actually, he was doing an appearance out here this weekend for, like, a car dealership or something. I heard on the radio.
Well, I'm sure they got to start doing all, like, the promotional work in Dallas, you know, so we're fucking 6 weeks away, well, 7 weeks away today, so that would be good. But we'll go ahead and talk about Daniel Bryan, and I've actually seen a lot more Daniel Bryan than most of you guys, so I'll go ahead and start here, because I remember going, well, actually, I remember the first time I saw Daniel Bryan is, you know, Shawn Michaels had a school, and then he had, you know, his first class, which was the Daniel Bryan, Spanky, Lance Cade, who looked nothing like he did when he was in WWE. He looked like he looked more like Bradshaw. And then another guy named Shooter Schultz, who was okay. And then they were like the first ones, and then they were followed by Michael Shane and Chris Cougar. And there was like a tag team that Frankie Danielson always wrestled called the Board of Education. Can't remember their actual names, but they were actually pretty good. They just looked like two normal dudes, so they never got signed. But basically, I knew Sean had the school, and then there was talk that he was going to get TV here down here. And I think it was a half-hour show, and it was one of the DJs from the Rock Station was like the color commentary.
The
he was okay.
The pig in San Antonio, right?
I don't remember if he called himself the pig. Maybe that was part of the rest.
Well,
of the
no, thing. No, no. The station numbers were the
KISS.
PIG or whatever.
Well, it was KISS. KISS.
Yes, and their logo. The only reason I know this is because I befriended the guy, the DJ, who was supporting their, they were like their sponsored, and he sent me a 5x7 of him and Sean at the commentary booth, and then the radio station, you know, their mascot was a pig, and it said KISS, and blah, 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 and so we talked back and forth, and I put him in touch with Mr. Alvarez. Anyway, go ahead.
I do not remember a pig. I don't even know where that's coming from.
Yeah. I remember the shirt vividly, so.
It might
anyway.
Have just been like a special shirt they made with like Porky Pig or something, or like something. It might have just been a shirt. You know? It wasn't actually a mascot because they never really had one. But
okay, anyway.
Anyway, the first match that
Porky's,
I saw
man,
on
that was
TV
a great
show.
Movie.
Which one? Porky's?
Porky's. Yeah.
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 Porky's 2 kind of special. Porky's 1 was awesome. But anyway,
Porky's 2
so
with
I,
all the
racing
was pretty good. I'm sorry.
So I finally got to see this wrestling show. I don't know how many weeks it had actually been on, but like, I think the first match that I saw, and Craig won't know who these guys are, I'm sure. Probably will, but it was the tag team champions or the top tag team of the wrestling, the TWA, was Solomon Grundy and Tugboat Taylor, and Tugboat was dressed like Solomon Grundy, you know, barefoot with the suspenders, and then they had a mascot, who was this little midget called him Nugget. I don't know if it was some kind of Owen Hart reference or something, but. Yeah, but it didn't start off well. As bad as Solomon Grundy was, he was also kind of awesome, and he used to work out at my high school gym. So I've known the dude since I was a little kid. But yeah, I mean, this is when he was at the very, very end of his career, and it was like I had mixed feelings about the tag team because they sucked, but they were awesome in a way. But yeah, it didn't start off the right way, as far as like. Thinking this is going to be any good, and then the next thing I saw off of there was Daniel Bryan doing an interview when he still had the mask. He was just the American Dragon, I think, and so he had the mask, and then he was then like the next couple weeks would be like he was kind of feuding with Kendrick, not like it was like a blood feud or anything, but they were kind of feuding, and then it evolved to them becoming the American Force. Or whatever it was, and those two dudes were just awesome. And those other guys, the Board of Education, those dudes were like really, they meshed really good. I mean, these guys had these awesome matches. The first time I saw them live was at this bar called it's called Cowboy Palace now, but it used to be called Far West Rodeo, and they had like an actual rodeo thing inside the bar, so it's a pretty big place. And on one side they had the TWA, and I saw him and Spanky Russell, these guys, and it's just like, first time I saw him live, it's just like I'm watching this kid, this skinny, skinny fucking kid, because he must have been about 30 pounds lighter, maybe more than what he was in WWE. I mean, he was like 18, he was pale as fuck. I mean, give Sheamus a run for his money, he was so pale. But I'm watching this kid, and I'm like, and I know he's only been wrestling for like 2 months, if that. And I'm like thinking to myself, God damn, this fucking kid is so fucking good. And Kendrick, too. I mean, I think he was badass, too. And I was just like amazed, and it was this cool atmosphere because it was at this bar, and it was awesome, and then they had some more shows there. And then whatever reason, they moved it to like a YMCA that kind of sucked. But the one show I went there, they brought in S.A. Rios and D'Lo Brown to wrestle Spanky and Danielson. And it was awesome because they held their own with Rios and D'Lo. And they also had brought in Bob Holly to wrestle Shooter Schultz. And it was just amazing seeing this kid. And then then they had like a Raw, and the dark match was the American Force or against the Born Education. And they, you know, usually they have the dark matches at WWE, they, no one gives a fuck and boos them, but this was probably the most over match on the whole show, and they gave him like about 15 minutes. It was just fucking awesome and shit. And then they signed the four of them, and then they kind of went away to Memphis, and then they pretty much, I guess Lance K was the only one that didn't end up getting cut, because I know Shooter got cut and retired. Danielson ended up getting cut, and I'm assuming Spanky also. Back then, there was no way they were going to. You knew those were favorites to Shawn Michaels because Spanky and Danielson were just. There's no way they would have hired them just off of what they looked like and how skinny and small they were.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Probably for the best they didn't get, a job or anything.
Okay. Well, it's the best for all of wrestling because right after Daniel Bryan got released, Roland Alexander goes on Wrestling Observer Live and starts talking about how he's going to have this tournament called the King of Indies, and he's going to bring in all these top indie guys, and he's looking into who he's bringing. And I happened to call, and I happened to convince him to sign Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson to get in the tournament, and I pretty much told him he was the shit, and he fucking booked him on the show. And thanks to the King of Indies tournament, there's a Ring of Honor. There's an Evolve. So basically, I'm like the godfather to indie wrestling as we know it, and I just never get the credit. But, yeah, I'm the one that changed the face of pro wrestling when I got Daniel Bryan booked on the King of Indies. So, yeah, thank you. You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome. And
they stole your idea for the invasion that
they
one time.
They did. That's another thing. I should be so rich from all the shit that I've done for pro wrestling and got shit to show for it. Shitty business. God damn it.
I wonder who they'll get to play you in the life story movie of Daniel Bryan's life.
The fat guy from I forgot the movie.
Do you ever throw your shoulder out of joint patting yourself on the back?
No, I have skills. I can do that. You do it long enough. I studied Barry Horowitz, and I got it down.
I got you.
But, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay.
I don't know why you guys got to hate. I did something good. I basically created ROH. And Gabe was being a dick to us, and I'm the one that fucking keeps these men living off of what I gave him. That fucking
Good.
Yeah, right. But I did. It's on record. Couture has a download of it on the board. So y'all can go back and listen. Where I changed pro wrestling, it's documented forever. But that's how it is. But the King of the Indies was badass because they brought in all the top guys. I mean, if you look at who was in there, Danielson, Spanky, Low Key, AJ Styles, Doug Williams, Devon Morgan, Bison Smith, Adam Pearce, just a shitload of people.
Pretty much everybody that would be like the top indie guys like for the next decade or so were in this thing, right?
Yeah, Low Key was in it. Also, if you got the videotape, which unfortunately I haven't seen, you can see about a dozen wrestlers decide to just chop the living shit out of Bryan Alvarez and make him look like a geek that he is. I definitely recommend that. basically they all took turns holding and chopping the shit out of him throughout like the whole battle royal. That's all the battle royal was them fucking up Brian. But you know, Danielson stole the shoe. He wasn't even supposed to win. Apparently he was supposed to lose. Devon Morgan, who was like the local guy, one of
Donovan Morgan.
Oh, what did I say? I thought it was
Devon Morgan.
Well, Morgan was supposed to win, but apparently after the Danielson spanking match, that Nick Bonkwinkle, because it was a 2-day thing, and the first, you know, the first round was the first night, went and told Roland Alexander that you're out of your goddamn mind if you don't have this kid to win. So Roland was like, "Fuck." How, you know, he respected Nick enough, so he went and changed everything. And this caused a lot of problems because Morgan and Modest, you know, they were like the trainers and the local guys, and they ended up getting pissed, and this caused a rift, and they ended up leaving All Pro Wrestling. And I think they started their own promotion, or they tried to for a while. And, yeah, that caused a whole big feud. Almost that broke up basically his own territory, kind of. When he changed the plan, but basically it was a smart thing to do because, like I say, that started basically Ring of Honor, and that led to, like, what the Indies had become, because the Indies at that point were a wasteland, really. I mean, I'm sure Memphis, you know, had some people there, but, you know, it just, you didn't hear anything about the Indies. I couldn't hear a name in Indy from that time, basically. And then...
Yeah, not until, you know, like, Ring of Honor started, really, when started the whole thing, the whole indie thing going. So, I mean, there were indies before that, but they were never heard anything like really prominent at that time before Ring of Honor started.
Yeah. So, Craig, I know you watched the Sam of the San Antonio case. I don't know exactly how much you saw, but, you know, did you have any clue, sibling? I mean, like me, I mean, for some reason I knew I was watching the future best wrestler in the world. You know, what were your thoughts watching this little skinny white kid?
I can't say that to be completely 100% honest. I mean, I got a videotape from the DJ guy. I wish for the life of me I could remember his name. I'd look him up. But with the T-shirt and the 5x7, he also sent a videotape, and I in return sent him one of Brian and I wrestling. That's another story for another time. That was a business move, all in all. But anyway, you know, they were fun shows. I remember one of the shows, Shooter Schultz, they had this gimmick match where there was a box in each of the turnbuckles. And when you got to the box, there were things like a boxing glove, or there was barbed wire, and there were these gimmicks inside the box, and it was just very silly. The production wasn't very good. Brian Danielson, you know, him and Spanky tore it up. His gear at the beginning, oh my goodness, there was, I can't even call it gear, you know. It was, you know, Brian gets ribbed for wearing wind pants when we first started wrestling, and these weren't much better, but
when Rudy Boy Gonzalez was on the show, he told a story where he was training with him, and that I don't know if it was Kendrick or Danielson went to give him a Frankensteiner, and they jumped up on him, and he said the smell just hit him and just killed him, and he was like, "What the fuck?" And they're like, "Well, we can't afford to wash our gear," and would tell stories like, you know, about them going and just basically them having tortillas and just like hardly anything. You know, they're just basically just getting by, no furniture. I think there was just video game. That was about it. And yeah, they roughed it out those when they were going to school here.
It's funny because Aberdeen is basically 2.5 hours away from Seattle. It's a good hour and 20 minutes from my place. About an hour from my place, and it's, you know, towards the coast, and there's nothing in the town. You know, it's famous because, you know, Kurt Cobain was born there, and he did a lot of writing about the bridges that he used to do heroin under and different things like that. And, but the town itself, it's just a logging town. Nothing special about it. There's no sightseeing attractions. You drive through that town to get on the highway to go to the ocean. And if I would have grown up there, I would have done my, I would have done anything that is possible to get out of that town. Because when the logging industry dried up here, you know, 10 years ago for a bit because of the environmentalists and things like that, that town, it was sad to drive through that town. A lot of foreclosures, a lot of businesses closed up. So, you know, Danielson left at the right time. So that's the first time I saw him was on that tape. Brian Alvarez told me about, you know, this kid that wrestled the King of the Indies and followed him. You know, when ROH took off, I used to get a lot of their DVDs. Actually, Brian would get a lot of their DVDs because they would just send them to him. And I would say, hey, what are you doing with this? You know, and then I would, you know, take it home. And got a nice collection off of Mr. Alvarez from that. But always loved watching the guy. I finally got to see him work live WrestleMania 25 in Houston. And he wrestled the Russian,
Vladimir
Kozlov.
And he set off the fucking fire alarm.
That's right. Yes, the fire alarm was going off the whole time. It was kind of funny. But that's the first time I watched him work live, and there was nothing special about the match, but he was so smooth in the ring. Everything, you know, his lockup, his, you know, his transitions from one hold to another, there's just, and then he could do that, and then I remember watching a match with him and Nigel, and they're just headbutting each other just as physically hard as they can, just, and bleeding all over each other, and oh my goodness, just, he was such a beast, and when they finally brought him up, it was like, wow, one of our guys made it. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. This
guy's not larger than life. He's not, if you saw him on the street, you wouldn't give him a second glance. There's nothing honestly special about him. But it was like one of us made it. One of the guys that hammered it out in the Indies, they finally brought somebody who was normal size up, and he broke through that, you know, Triple H will deny it, but the glass ceiling. He broke through that. So I got to watch him work in ROH. I got to watch him win the title at WrestleMania 30. I was in the building for that as well. And then Monday, I got to watch him retire. And I didn't get choked up or anything until he started talking about his dad, because his dad actually passed away about 2 months before mine. So it was cool to be there. I was wondering how the crowd was going to react to it. I knew they weren't going to be real respectful because, let's be honest, they're wrestling fans. it was cool. It was touching to actually watch him give it up. I don't know where that's going to take him. I'm hoping he'll end up as a trainer if he can, you know, if he can even do that. I know there was when Brett had when Brett went through all his concussion stuff, he couldn't even fly for a long time. And Brian, that's not the case, thank God. But I really hope he was a trainer. I don't see him like being a commentator or, you know,
although he probably
like that.
Could pay him good at one. You know?
Yeah, he probably would. At least he would know the names of the moves. You know?
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a, oh, what a maneuver. You know what I mean? Brian knows all that stuff. But I hope they, I'm sure they'll keep him around doing something. I bet he's got a job with the Fed for life. You know? It was sad. It's sad to see him go because he's one of the good ones. And he's a real honest professional wrestler. There was not a guy that, he said it himself, there wasn't a guy that loved wrestling more than Daniel Bryan. But the way his views on wrestling and the way it should be presented and the way it should be worked, that's just, it's really cool to love something that much and be so dedicated to it and be so sold out to it the way he was. I mean, for crying out loud, they put him in a tag team with Kane. And that was, I remember going to see them live in Everett, of all places. And that was the funniest, most entertaining stuff I've ever seen in my life. I laughed until my face physically hurt. Just all based around a hug. All based around a hug. And that's special. That's really special. And I don't know if we're going to see that again.
Yeah, he could get anything over. Basically, everything he did got over in some ways. But you were talking about how if you saw him on the street, you wouldn't bat an eye, kind of. Well, I have a story about that. Actually, I have two stories about Bryan Danielson. That WrestleMania in Houston, the second night, ROH was early, and they did it so basically you could go to ROH, and then you could walk to the Hall of Fame just a couple blocks away. So that's what we did. We went to the Hall of Fame, and after the Hall of Fame, we're hanging out, and Claudio was there because he was in the Hall of Fame, I think Hero, a couple other guys. Mm-hmm. So they're being cool, taking photos, talking to us. And then I know Brian tells me, keep an eye out for Larry Sweeney. And then
That's why I didn't go with you guys, because Brian and I were babysitting Sweeney, and just to be honest, Sweeney was looking to score some painkillers, and that's the last thing he needed right then. So at the first chance that I could have bounced, so I didn't have to be around Larry Sweeney, I did, and that's when you guys all went to the bar.
Yeah. Well, then and I think you dropped Brian off, but you kind of, you missed out because that was actually an awesome time at the bar. But yeah, it was funny because I told Brian, man, check out that homeless guy, because everyone's dressed nice. And then there's this, like, homeless dude. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that fucking Sweeney? And then Brian's like, yeah, it is. And he had, like, a cowboy hat and a Mork from Mindy vest and some weird pants and cowboy. I mean, just stuck out like a sore thumb. So anyway, so we hung out there for a while. And about a week or two before this, I had interviewed Aries. And basically, me and Aries agreed that we were going to smoke a joint WrestleMania weekend. So Peach had given him my number. So during the Hall of Fame, he called me to tell me that they were all hanging out at this bar that was right by the venue, kind of. And he told me the name of the street. So when we left, it's like me and Rodney and Pete and fucking Supersonic and a few of the other guys. And we're walking, and we pass by the ROH venue, and then we get to the street, but we don't know if it's left, we don't know if it's right. So walking down one way is this really young guy, really unassuming, dressed pretty nice, and I asked him, I go, hey sir, I go, we're looking for this bar, you didn't happen to pass it on your way while you're walking down? And he's like, well fellas, that's actually where I'm headed right now, if you want to follow me or walk with me. And so we're like, okay. So we start walking, and we're walking about 50 feet. And then it just fucking hits me. And I just turn to the guy, and I go, sir, I go, I apologize. I didn't recognize you. I'm a big fan. I've been watching you since, you know, so-and-so. And, yeah, it was fucking Daniel Bryan. And there were fucking, like, 8-10 of us, and none of us snapped until, like, we were walking halfway with Daniel Bryan. And, I just thought that was so hilarious. And then he hung out with us, and it was like him and Roderick. Roderick fucking was wasted as hell that night. Aries, Daphne, just there was like Kevin Steen, Tyler Black, Eddie Edwards. I mean, just whole shitloads of them were there. And that's when Aries grilled Brian. I just passed by, and he's asking Brian, like, how many matches have you had? And, like, trying to find out, like, if Brian, you know, should be able to write or criticize him and stuff. And I was just let me get out of here. But that was an awesome night. But, yeah, it was just so funny. Like, this dude is my favorite. And he was my favorite wrestler at the time, and I still didn't fucking recognize his ass. And I had seen him on the screens at the Hall of Fame because he was Regal's guest.
Right.
He was Regal's plus one at the Hall of Fame. So that was actually pretty cool. And then my second story with Bryan Danielson is when we went to Vegas and we were doing that grappling match between Bryan and the Peach Machine, and we're there at this, basically, we were going to do it at this guy, One Kick Nick, who's this, like, bodyguard, local badass in Vegas at his gym, but his gym was being painted or renovated or fumigated or something. So basically, this dude's a biker. So basically, Harley Davidson, one of the stores, let him put up his ring and let them train inside the store. So basically, Bryan and Peach are having this grappling match surrounded by all these badass Harley Davidsons, because the ring was right where all the Harley Davidsons were and stuff. So we're there, and then we get there, and then we have to wait and wait and wait because fucking Peach Machine's taking fucking forever to get there. And then when he finally gets there, he comes in the door, and he's fucking flanked by Roderick Strong and Bryan Danielson. And we're like, what the fuck? This can't be happening. It's a shock that it's Bryan Danielson and Roderick Strong, but they're, like, hanging out with the Peach Machine. It's like, what the fuck? You know, this idiot. So anyway, so they came, and then, like, Danielson cornered Bryan and Roderick cornered Peach. And, they hung out with us for a little bit after this. But later that night, or that day, was the UFC show that we always go to, and I got to sit next to Danielson. And basically, Peach and Roddy and them, they didn't show up to the pay-per-view started, but 3 hours of prelims before. So for like 6 hours, I basically sat with Danielson and just like, basically just talked to him for like the whole fucking time. And I'll never forget, I mean, the dude is like so humble, and it's that's not an act. You know, he's not playing it off like he's like that. I mean, he's so humble that basically every match that I brought up that I watched from, like, the TWA, from Ring of Honor, from wherever, every match that I brought up, I go, man, I remember this match and so, and it was so great and you know, it was awesome. And he'd just get this embarrassed look on his face, and he'd shake his head, and he said, that match was horrible. And it didn't matter what it was, from the beginning or to, like, a match he had that year, you know what I mean? He just was like, he couldn't accept that any of his matches were any good. You know, I guess that's what drove him to be so good is, you know, he was trying to be better than he thought he was, but he just could not accept that he had a good match. It's like there was something wrong with every match. And also, he's got this weird thing where he, you know how, like, when you sneeze, you blink just, like, automatically? Somehow he's trained himself not to blink. And he was telling me about that, and then he sneezed, and I actually, like, saw it. It was kind of like a trip. Real cool. And then he went to, we went to Dick's Last Resort, and that's kind of like a restaurant where the waiters are dicks and talk shit to you, and they make these big paper mache hats and put on you. And I was sitting next to Bryan Danielson wearing a big paper hat that said, I like cock, or something like that. And then he hung out for a while, and then he went to go do a booty call, and then he came back after the booty call, or alleged booty call at the time. But he came back, hung out with us for a long time. And the one thing that I'll never forget, and I just, this is like, he has a special place in my heart for what he did, because he didn't have to do this at all. And it was toward the end of the night, and the bar's still crowded, and I'm with a bunch of guys on one end of the bar, and I can see on the other side of the bar by the exit is Peach and Roddy and Bryan. And you can tell that Bryan's saying goodbye. You know, he's taking their hands, giving them a hug. And he starts to take 2 steps out the door, but then he stops. And because I was looking, because I wanted to go say bye, but it was kind of, I didn't think I could even get to him before, you know, he took off or whatever. So he starts to look around in our direction, and then he makes a beeline to a crowded room and comes straight up to me. And before I can say anything, he puts his hand out and he tells me, "Ed, it was an honor to meet you." And just started like telling me like how cool he thought I was and all this stuff. And it's just like, I'm thinking to myself, my favorite fucking wrestler, this dude that I have the ultimate respect for, is just telling me that it's an honor to meet me. It's like, what the fuck? What's going on? This is bizarre world. And it just like blew my mind. And it's just like, I'll never forget that, because he didn't have to do that. He could have just left. You know what I mean? You know, it's just, and for that, you know, I'll always fucking, you know, I'll always remember that. And I'll always think so highly of the dude more than anybody in pro wrestling, just because he treated me, a nobody fan, with so much respect. You know what I mean? And I think he treated almost everybody like that. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers who they don't, you know, they love wrestling, but they don't really love the fans, you know what I mean? And or they respect the fans, and that's something about Daniel Bryan. Is he was the good person that he came out as. I mean, the dude was humble, he was respectful, he was raised right, you know what I mean? He would give you the shirt off his back, and he had the coolest Reading Rainbow shirt that night, too. But, I mean, just you can't help but not like the guy, not even for his wrestling or this and that, but just who he is or how he acted as a person.
Yep. When did you first see him, Katrera?
I first saw him on your radar. This was like in the... It was in 2002, because like a couple years before that, I used to get all the old RF video shoot interviews. So I was big into getting those. Again, like
yep.
I think the first one I saw was like they did the 4-hour interview with Tully Blanchard.
Right.
I thought it was like greatest thing I'd ever seen. So they had all these others, and just started getting them like every time they'd come out with them, and then that's when they were obviously working with ECW at the time, and then when ECW went down the tubes. You know, there was kind of that vacancy there. So that's basically how Ring of Honor came about, if you remember. Because ECW, ECW, when it died, they had that void up. And so they were going to create another wrestling promotion. That's how Ring of Honor came about. And I started getting those, they would have previews for these tapes, for the Ring of Honor tapes.
Yeah.
I hadn't ever seen much of any indie wrestling at all. So I started getting those because, you know, I spent money on their products before, so I just kind of like, okay, I'll see what this is all about. So, and I think the first big feud, the first main event was like, they did the big three-way feud with Low-Key and Christopher Daniels and Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson
yep.
at the time. And it wasn't just the Bryan Danielson at times, but I thought these guys were like fucking incredible, you know, like I'm sitting there watching Low-Key and he's doing all these stiff kicks, and I'm seeing like the Amazing Red, who looked like at the time when he first started, looked like the second coming to like Rey Mysterio Jr. or somebody like that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like a different style than what I've ever seen. It's just like really, really, really stiff, and really most of the guys there would be the guys you'd hear about for about the next 10 years in indie wrestling. You know, it was them and, you know, and then like Paul London and Brian Kendrick and who else was it? I know Samoa Joe came from there. Yeah, CM Punk. I mean, I think he would probably say the two most successful were probably CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. Would that be fair to say? That came through?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think you could put Samoa Joe like third, but a lower third compared to those two.
Yeah, and even like AJ Styles came through there, you know.
Sure.
He did a little bit at first, and I was watching all these matches, and it was just like, I was so blown. It wasn't just like one person. I was just blown away by the entire product at the time, and I just kept looking at those tapes every month, and I mean, you're some of the best wrestling I've ever seen, and yeah, he was one of those that stood out as you know, when I first started watching. And that was probably, I probably watched ROH that first year, maybe about, probably about a year after they started. Then I kind of got away from it, just doing other things. And then I never got to really see any Bryan Danielson until he came to WWE. So I was kind of, kind of missed like a whole portion of his career, you know, with the ROH stuff that he did,
yeah,
right before he came to WWE. So,
like I said, Brian used to get all those tapes and DVDs and whatnot, and I actually bought the first ROH show because I heard so much buzz about it. But you know, some of that stuff that he did is just so incredible. You know, he actually had a couple of stops in NOAH as well, and his matches with like Morishima and those are insane. It's unbelievable. Kenta, just nobody does wrestling like that I ever watched growing up. You know, I'm a full grown man at the time. You know, he started in like 99, 2000. I'm a full grown man. And I was raised on Hillbilly Jim and the Junkyard Dog. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you respect people like, you know, when we're young, Bret Hart, British Bulldog, and people like that. And they took everybody that we respected, looked up to those guys, Benoit, you know, before the Insanity, and things like that, and Guerrero, and everything that we loved, and that was ROH. That was their style. And Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and Austin Aries, and Chris Hero, and Joe, and all those guys, that was the best of the best. You can put Cesaro in there, too, if you'd like. You could put Seth in there. You could put, I'm forgetting somebody, I'm sure. But those guys and the style they worked was like, okay, this is like Bulldog and Brett. This is like, you know, Brian Pillman. You know what I mean? And that was awesome to me. It's like, oh, it's a whole promotion based around the best wrestlers that I loved growing up.
It was still like the greatest exchange I've ever seen, like in a wrestling match, was like the first minute of like an Amazing Red Low-Key match that they had in this, like, I think it was sort of the ROH title tournament. It's like, I can't even explain it. It was like something out of the fucking Matrix. It was just like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I don't know if did you ever see that? You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, which one?
No, but I know.
Go ahead.
Which match are you talking about?
It was a tournament match for the first ROH championship, and it was Low Key against the Amazing Red. They had, like, the first minute was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just, I can't even explain it. Like I said, it looked like something out of the Matrix. I don't know if you guys ever saw that match.
I know what kind of exchange you're talking about. It's almost, it's quote-unquote scripted, but it's so flawless. It's like a one-take movie reel.
Yeah.
They didn't have to yell that for.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then I think in the tournament, he accidentally shoot kicked Prince Nana and knocked him out. He came from concussion. I do remember that.
Well, okay, he kicked a lot of people in the head.
Yeah, that's just true.
Didn't he knock out Ula Nation one time in a match, like the first movie that the fucking, it looks like the Kevin Owens senton into the corner, but he's actually throwing a kick.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I remember going to a Dragon Gate show, and Loki was in a four-way match, and I can't for the life of me remember the kid that came up from Noah, but he was kicking Generico was in the match. Remember that? He was kicking Generico super stiff, and then the other guy in the match. Oh, it was the other guy in the match was Callisto, as a matter of fact. And he was kicking Callisto really hard in the match. And then the Japanese guy that had this reputation of being a shooter and an ass kicker, he was very gentle with him. It was amazing. And then when the Japanese kid got on offense, he just whipped the snot out of him. Anyway.
Yeah, that's another thing Loki had a reputation for. If he didn't respect you, he didn't give a fuck. But if you thought you'd be stiff with him too, he was as light as a feather, amazingly.
Yep. Amazing how that works.
Yeah. It was always weird today. It was always weird because, like, years later, when you know ROH had clearly become like the biggest independent in the world. And I saw Daniel Bryan with that beard for the first time. He was like the wizard beard. It was like the creepiest thing I've ever seen. You know, he took his cape off, and it's just like, holy shit, something out of fucking, I don't know, Labyrinth or something like that. I don't know.
He could get anything over. Like, I mean, I love the song, but come on, he had like the most over theme song because everyone's sang the Final Countdown. He got the wizard thing over. He got the I Got Till Five over.
Oh, that was awesome.
He got the fucking small package over the most devastating move in pro wrestling for a little while. Just every little thing he did, he like Team Hell No. Team Hell No should have been stupid as fuck, but it was awesome. You know what I mean? He got super heat because he was a fucking vegan when he first, you know, won the title and stuff. Whatever he did, he found a way. It got over, and you know, a lot of people don't have that. They can't connect. Like somehow, everything, like I say, everything he did, got over. The beer, the yes. I mean, the yes chant, the most over thing in wrestling since fucking what chant, basically.
Everything
he did turned to gold.
Everything what chant was annoying as hell.
But Craig, do you have a single favorite match?
Oh man, that's so tough. Gosh, that's so tough, dude. I'll tell you one that I really, really enjoyed, and it was so good, and nobody saw it, but they did a house show in Tacoma, I want to say it was 4 or 5 years ago. No, it was earlier than that. It was, it might have been like 2010 when he was kind of feuding with Christian. And feuding on the house shows, I should say. But him and Christian had this match, and it was so good. And I was sitting four rows back, and this match, it was just a house show match. It went maybe 12 minutes, you know, because it was a house show match, and they had time to work. Sitting in the crowd watching this match, and it was just so flawless. And Christian's such a great heel, and everybody, you know, in the arena, you know, they knew who Bryan Danielson was, but they, you know, he was like third, fourth on the card. And that match, I'll never forget that match. That match was so great.
Guitar, what was your favorite match?
Well, I still gotta go. I gotta go back to, you know, just that those two performances at WrestleMania in New Orleans. You know, he started off against Triple H, which was a great match. And then they ended the show beating Randy Orton and Batista in the three-way, which was which I thought was a better match in there than actually. I mean, he saved that show if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't have made those changes on that show. I mean, everything that main event was Randy Orton and Batista, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody knew was stupid even before they announced it, you know?
Yep.
But, and then they fucking rejected Batista at that fucking Royal Rumble. So they end up making the change, and, you know, he had to beat Triple H to get into the match. And, yeah, you know, they just, I think the biggest near fall was Randy Orton hit the RKO, and everybody, I think, thought it was over at that point. And he kicked out of the RKO, and then he came back and made Batista tap out, I believe. That's probably my favorite memory.
I pretty much have to
agree
with that.
Really, it never really felt like he was a world champion. He didn't have it for long because he got hurt, you know?
Yeah.
Just like when he beat John
Cena,
it never really felt like he had won the title because he lost it, like, minutes later. He felt like he got to run with it. So.
But I gotta agree with you on that being like my favorite matches, because it's like the culmination of, like you say, I've seen this guy right out of wrestling school, 18 years old, thinking that he's going to become something, and then he actually starts suppresses that, and he's headlining WrestleMania, and you got this small, skinny looking weirdo with a beard headlining over all these muscular giants. I mean, it was just the most perfect ending. It in a lot of ways, it was reminiscent to WrestleMania 20, I believe, when Benoit and Guerrero were celebrating at the end of WrestleMania. It's like one of those things that you'd never see, you know, because you fear Vince wouldn't even allow something like that. And lo and behold, at the biggest stage. And it's funny because it was like WrestleMania 20 and then WrestleMania 30 where, like, it happens. Like, every 10 years something weird happens, basically, and the right thing happens.
And WrestleMania 10, Bret Hart had the two matches, remember?
That's true.
Yeah. So, just seeing him, like, win the title, everybody in the crowd chanting yes, I mean, just it was absolutely amazing. I mean, I was practically in tears when that match was over and he won the title. And, you know, it was just, how could you top that? I mean, it's almost in a sad way, it's almost too sad that since he didn't wrestle too many matches after, it's like, it's kind of sad that maybe that should have been his last match. You know what I mean? I mean, how could you can't top that. There's nothing he could have done, and unfortunately he didn't get the chance because of injuries and sorry booking or whatever. But, you know, at least we got to see him last WrestleMania and the ladder match or whatever it was. And, you know.
And again,
really
just like everyone else, the downfall comes when they put you in a feud with Kane. Everything downhill from there. Happens to everybody.
I tell you, just one more quick story. I don't know how much you set the time for, but as we were leaving Key Arena, after I got into my little altercation, I got in the car and I started it up, and my pickup has XM radio, and I like listening to Channel 39, which is Hair Nation. And it's all 80s hair rock, you know. And just as I started it up, there was a song fading out, so it was just getting done. And as God is my witness, the next song that came on the radio was The Final Countdown. And,
I should have paid to have him have that music, like they paid for CM Punk's music.
Yeah.
That's the most awesome ring music ever.
But hey, he got the Flight of the Valkyries over his theme music too, so that's a plus.
Yeah, it was just crazy that, you know, and I was grinning ear to ear, and my son got it. He's like, "Dad," and I'm like, "I know," and my wife's like, "What?" But me and the boy had a special moment, you know, because we had just watched Daniel Bryan retire, and the first song we hear when you're back in the car is The Final Countdown.
And who doesn't like that song? That's like one of the greatest songs of all time.
You know, back in the day, that same radio station where the guy, he was the TV announcer. If you go way, way back in the day, they had this DJ. His name was Joe Anthony. Nickname was the Godfather. And he was like the 10 o'clock night, and he'd always open with Iron Maiden's 2 Minutes to Midnight. And he was just like the coolest dude, and his song was really badass. You could hear him in the background saying rock and roll. And he was just this awesome, awesome DJ. And he was one of those DJs that he didn't play what they told him. He played what he wanted to play. So he was always breaking new shit. You know, he was the first person to play Moxie, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Back that time period, right? And stuff like that. So he'd always break all these new bands, dude. And I'll never forget listening to the radio. Like, so I stayed up one night and had my radio going, and I'm listening to the radio. And he was the first person in the United States to play the Final Countdown. I remember hearing it that one time, and I'm like, yeah, this fucking song's badass, man. And it's been one of my favorite songs ever since. And I work out every time I hear it.
It was so cool the way that ROH did it, where it would come up with the piano at the first da-da-da-da, and it wouldn't even go through a verse. The fans would just yell just as loud as they could, it's the final count. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
The way they edited that.
I remember getting to do that
at
Houston.
Yeah, it was so cool. It's, man, he's going to be missed.
And,
I'm glad that they brought up. I was going to say, I'm glad that he broke the stereotype of you got to be 6'4 and jacked to get in the WWE. I'm glad that WWE is noticing people that are smaller now, because let's be honest. When's the last time you saw a good heavyweight fight in UFC? It's all those undercard guys. It's all those small guys. It's all those featherweight and lightweight. And those are the guys that are on the shows, you know? And it's about time, Vince. Well, you know what I mean. But it's those smaller weight classes that are doing better and having more entertaining fights. So, you know, if Daniel Bryan accomplished anything, it would be that he changed Vince McMahon's mind on what a pro wrestler looks like.
Right? They just gave a shitload of money to somebody who's shorter than Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho's always been one of the shortest ones.
Yeah.
And not to mention that they just signed Austin Aries to NXT, and Austin Aries is fucking awesome, but Austin Aries is fucking short. You know, he's a little dude. I mean, he's a jacked-up little dude, but he's a little dude. But, yeah, I mean, that, like him and Punk, you know, they really changed that, and that's good, because it would suck if everybody looked like Roman and Titus O'Neil, because the matches would just suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they'd be more pushing a Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And really, you got to also give the credit to the fans for getting that change over, too, because without them cheering, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Getting behind them, they would not. Wouldn't have been, you know, they wouldn't have been noticed, you know, gotten that chance, I don't think.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the fans basically said, fuck you, we don't like what you're giving us, we want this, and we're not going to fucking stop until you give us what we want, and that's what they did. And they basically had no choice but to fucking change the main event to WrestleMania and give them the title.
I never bought the, you know, the bullshit, stupid conspiracy stuff is like, oh, they're not clearing him because he's too over, and they want somebody, don't want
that's
him to
so
come back
and get
Daniel Bryan chance. So they're not letting him come back because he's too over. So, this is the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, maybe it wasn't their plan for him to get over like he did, but you know, they're not doing some stupid bullshit like that to keep him out. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, let's shoot ourselves in the foot and throw money down the toilet. Don't be stupid,
yeah.
People. Gosh.
Yeah.
I hate wrestling fans sometimes. So dumb. Wake up.
Danielson was also good. Well, you got to blame somebody for something. There's always something, some kind of chicanery going on. I don't know. He's also anyway. One of the guys that there's a handful of guys that I've always consistent. He was always consistently good at making everybody else look good. You know, he was like I always say, like Ric Flair. Consistently good, like Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Ricky
Steamboat.
He was
having a good match with Big Show and Mark Henry when he won the title.
He had a hell of a match with Batista on Monday Night Raw when he first came up. When he was in
NXT. He had an awesome thing with Santino in the Elimination Chamber.
That's right.
Yeah, and he was like I was saying, Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels. Benoit was one. The Ricky Steamboat was one. And I put Danielson right up there with them as, you know, being able to consistently bring everybody up to his level and just make everybody else look good, no matter who they were. So.
You know, the two best damn wrestlers I ever saw were Chris Benoit and Bryan Danielson. And honestly, it's not even close as far as, just in ring, you know what I mean? Just,
mm-hmm.
It didn't matter who they wrestled or what style or whatever. They could do it all. And it was just fucking... It was going to be good. It was going to be fucking good, and it was going to be exciting. You were going to get into it. And he just... Like I say, he's one of the greatest of all time.
They really should change that. They named that technical award after him now in the Observer.
I think they said he's doing that, so that's pretty cool. Because he won it 7 years in a row, if not more.
Yeah. I mean, who else has an award named after him? Ric Flair and Bruiser Brody?
Yeah.
The only other two?
Well, Luke does.
Sounds right.
Ric Flair does. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big company right there. And stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and start to wrap up. So, Craig, is there anything, notes or anything else about Daniel Bryan you want to talk about before we go?
Honestly, not really. I mean, the last I actually got to interact with him, he was doing that book signing here it's been a couple months ago. But the way he interacted with those kids when they came up to get their book signed it's when you go to book signings and stuff, people are really, you can only get your book signed, one picture, blah, 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 blah. And that wasn't Daniel Bryan. He was signing everything that these kids brought. I mean, there was a kid, he had a belt and he had a figure and then he took off his hat and then, there's just multiple items. That, it's not like the kid's going to go home and eBay him. He was genuinely excited to meet Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan was so nice, and he's just smiling the whole time. I said at the beginning, he's one of the good ones. And I think when I say one of the good ones, I think he's just a great human being. I don't know the man personally, but the things I've seen and what I know about him and the few interactions I've had with him, just a good dude. And so I'm going to miss seeing him in the ring. I'm going to miss being awed by him. But he can look back at his career and say that, he did okay.
Yeah, Couture, anything else you want to talk about or bring up about Daniel Bryan?
No, I just legitimately one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. That's all. all we've got to say about it.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And the last thing I'll say is, going back to like what Craig was just saying about him being a good person and just being a good guy is, you know, I had the pleasure of interviewing him once on back when the show was a Drunk Cast. And then he had even friended me on Facebook. He had like a really private Facebook. I mean, I think he only had like 150 friends or something. And basically he got signed. So, and you know, it was going to be a few months before he, you know, he reported. So I told Peach, I go, hey man, can you get him on the show again? Or ask if he'll do the show? And Peach is like, yeah, I'll ask. And Peach just gets back with me and he's like, I don't think he's going to, but Peach either asked for my email or something. And then Danielson sent me this long message saying that, hey man, you know, I like doing the show the last time, but I'm worried. I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble. And I don't want you to think that I don't want to do the show. It's just that right now the smart thing is not to. And just, you know, basically just, you know, I mean, he didn't even have to come. He could have just told Peach to say, no, I can't do it or whatever. But he contacted me to explain why he couldn't do it and that he felt bad, but he just felt that it was right not to do any interviews at the time and stuff. And, like, he didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know what, it's just like, the dude is, like, the most humble and thoughtful person in wrestling that I've ever met. You know what I mean? It's just, he's just the most awesome dude ever, basically. And with that, we'll go ahead and start to wrap up the show. So everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. So check out angrymarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Cotrera and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's my last name, or Jam, so Proper or Proper Jam on Twitter. And I think I'm going to be back on the Brian and Vinny show in like 2 weeks. I'm going to forget how to do radio if I keep this up. But, I apologize. Last week I had every intention of being on the show with Ed and Peach. I came home, I would say absolutely exhausted, because that's the only way to put over how tired I was. But I closed my eyes, and the next thing I knew, it was 6:45, so 45 minutes after the show started. Oopsie. Yeah, my bad.
You can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. I've got a bunch of wrestling videos up there. I'm still making my way through. I've got every episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling up there right now that I've been watching. So,
good stuff.
I'm getting close to the end of that, and which is going to be sad because I've been loving watching that shit. I love that stuff. Mm-hmm. Everybody ought to check that out. So,
it is great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going into that gangster stuff,
that gangster stuff is something else.
Oh, it is.
That's some hardcore shit.
Yeah, scary.
The last thing I was going to say before we go is, if you're going to WrestleMania and you want to be there for the first ever meeting, well, I've met Craig plenty of times, but the first time that the three of us will ever be in the same room together, email me at f4wfan@hotmail.com, and I'll tell you how you can join us for the big dinner. I think as of yesterday, we had our 50th person sign up for it, and we still got 7 weeks, so hopefully we can get some more. And then
is Lance coming to this thing?
What's that?
Is Lance coming to this thing?
No, Lance is getting in town too late for that. Unfortunately.
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I know. We'll call you.
Lance. Be afraid to come up and talk to me. I'm just a regular person like everybody else, despite my fame. So.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. I'm not sure
with you guys. That means, if I sit with you two big guys, that means they're more apt to keep bringing the meat, you know, at a better rate. I see you two guys.
I have to witness you and Brent Crumman having a conversation about some Mid-Atlantic wrestling or something.
Holy Christ. I just want to watch Brent. I don't even want to talk to him. I just want to examine him in his natural habitat.
I was so glad that somebody actually came and documented the SummerSlam from this
last
year.
That was pretty fucking funny.
Because when you try to explain Brent Crumman, the words just don't. You can't explain him.
You can't explain it to where someone will believe you until they actually see him in person or see a video. Because I mean,
he's such an anomaly. It's just hard to explain him. And thank God somebody documented this. You know, so people can go, "Oh, I get it now."
Brent,
the first.
After all my listening to the stories over the years, like on the Brian and Benny show.
Yeah.
Brent's not a person. He's an adventure, what I've determined.
Yes.
From getting from irritating Brian and trying to watch pay per views to going to the
stealing bananas at Brian's wedding party thing.
Yeah.
I mean the first time I ever saw the man was at Brian's wedding. I'm there with Rodney, and we're the first ones there outside the buffet, and then we see Brent coming, and we're like, why is Brent with this little Asian man? Because Brian's little Mexican dad is Asian more than Mexican.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
And we're like, I tell him, Rodney, should we introduce ourselves? And Rodney's like, no, dude, I just want to watch him. So we proceeded to watch him for 10 minutes, talk to the hostesses at the buffet. Is there kosher food? Is there pork? Is how much is this? Can I get a discount on that? It's like... so-and-so, he was drinking milk, and as soon as the glass is empty, he doesn't hear him, like, wait a minute. As soon as the glass is empty, he just goes and tries to get his own milk and stuff. It's like, he'll be there in a second, dude, chill out. And then he fucking shoves bananas in his clothes and throw bananas. And, yeah, the dude's weird. It's going to be, WrestleMania is going to be interesting with him being there. But, with that, we'll go ahead and end the show, and we will be back next week.
You gotta be the man! You gotta be the man! You want to find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.